This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 256. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Buddy's going to the red carpet, Fate gives Wotan a beatdown, Lobo's origin revised, and it's pronounced charming. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, May 5th, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Animal Man number 20 by Lemire, Leon, and Green II. This is Tights Part 2. So this is the movie that Buddy made about superheroes, and it's kind of like a down-on-his-luck hero or vigilante or whatever you want to call him, and how his whole life is falling apart behind the scenes. So Buddy goes back to watch the rest of that superhero movie that we saw in an earlier issue. In this movie, Chaz, who Buddy is playing, he's in the hospital from the beating he received. This agent arrives who wants to jump on his new viral video fame. And we see him go from a talk show to a reality show called Who Wants to Marry a Real Life Superhero to commercials and then back again. And he winds up at this party and then stops a studio exec from raping this girl.
And he does it using his Red Thunder identity.
Yeah, so he's blacklisted and learns that he's lost the rights to the Red Thunder name. He really can't even go back to the regular superhero life. It appears he kills himself, although it's not completely clear because in like a coda to the movie, there's some new vigilante.
Well, the son receives the package with the Red Thunder costume in it.
Right.
And then you see that there's another superhero, and it's sort of implied that this is him.
Now we go back to Buddy in his life, and his actual agent calls him, telling him he's been nominated for Best Actor. So this is, just comes completely out of the blue.
But you notice they never say for, like, an Academy Award or
Yeah, they were very clear not to do that. But yeah. they highly inferred it, but yeah, didn't actually say
yeah.
it.
You're nominated, da-da-da-da-da, but nothing about, like, what you're actually nominated for.
Right. I really did enjoy this story within a story. It takes Buddy in a new, very interesting direction now.
Yes.
Where he's going to be a celebrity again. And he's already very unstable mentally because of the death of his son.
The death of his son, the loss of his wife.
Will this completely just throw him off the edge? Earth 2, number 12 by Robinson and Scott. So the war with Wotan winds up. There's a nice reference to Lee Travis. There's this female news reporter, Lee Travis, and Lee Travis was the secret identity of the Crimson Avenger.
Well, see, I didn't need to know that.
Right, so we'll see if she eventually becomes Crimson Avenger, because in the most recent version of that character, it was a woman. Hawk Girl and Green Lantern find this container ship that's full of dead parademons. And before they have a chance to figure out what's going on, GL is called to Boston to help in the big fight. So Flash and GL end up running interference for Dr. Fate, who's fighting Wotan. And Mrs. Garrick is getting a lot of screen time here.
Yes.
This is a character who was essentially invented for this, because I don't think she ever appeared previous to this.
So do you think she'll end up being someone, like becoming a superhero? Or
I think it's more like she might become like a liaison to the group or something.
Okay.
Like administrative or some sort of role. Fate ends up defeating Wotan with his knowledge of various gods.
That he got through Naboo.
Right. Alan Scott, in the end, he says, well, I'll just spin this whole thing on his network so that we'll really be seen as the heroes, which they are, but the public doesn't see him as that.
Well, because the government doesn't want the public to see them
right.
that way.
And unfortunately, there's no time because they learn that Steppenwolf is in Darain, this faux Middle Eastern country.
Well, that's very reminiscent of the whole Dasad in a country in the companion title with Power
World's
Girl.
World's Finest.
Yeah.
Right.
Where it's in the Earth Prime or Earth One or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you've got another new god character who's taken over a country, right?
Right. And it appears like the new gods will eventually start moving more onto Earth One. And we, of course, that's how Justice League title started with this fight with Darkseid. Stormwatch number 20 by Starlin and Guichet. Starlin has really turned this title into more of a basic sci-fi series than what it was, which was this team of superheroes, and which is pretty much what Jim Starlin writes. He wrote all those miniseries that had Captain Comet and Adam Strange in them in the 2000s, and he's well known for his cosmic storylines.
So do you like this better?
Frankly, I do, more than the actual Stormwatch team.
Because I wasn't reading this, so
right.
maybe I should start?
Yeah, we'll see. Of course, the question is, how long can he go off and basically do where the Stormwatch team, in a way, is almost a cameo in their own title?
Okay.
How long you can get away with that? We do get a revised origin on Lobo, where he's from planet Zarnia.
Which he was before, right?
Right. Where there were these genetic experiments going on to try to perfect their race. And one of those experiments goes wrong, and it turns the whole population into killers. Lobo, as this kid, hides out, figures out an antidote, and only saves himself while the rest of the world kills each other. And the planet's medical systems basically pump all the augmentations that they were giving to everybody on the planet into him. So now he's this hugely pumped up vigilante.
So he's not like a unrepentant killer anymore?
It's unclear here because in the last scene, this mystery race gives Lobo this chance to wipe his slate clean. So clearly whether he wants to do it because he feels bad about it or because he doesn't want to be bothered with the baggage is unclear. But it does seem like he has a little bit more of a moral compass than the older Lobo did.
Because before, Lobo had been the one that wiped out his entire planet.
Exactly. Exactly. So in this case, he just allowed them to die rather than killing them directly. Ferris number 15 from Vertigo by Williams and Sadowski. This is the Nalayani story. I had to look this up. Apparently goes back to ancient Sanskrit. This story of this girl who defends her village because the men went off to fight the Empire, and that's Geppetto. And she goes to seek help from the Maharaja Shah Aming, runs into this talking jackal Tabaki, and that's a character from the Jungle Book, apparently.
Hmm.
I had to look that up. On the way, the jackal defends her from these wild dogs, and she returns the favor to him against this gang who wants to kill him. And unfortunately, the jackal's wounds in that fight eventually force her to kill him. So she reaches the Maharaja, and he says, oh, by the way, it's pronounced Charming. So it's Prince Charming.
Here we have Prince Charming again.
Right.
What do you think? Do you like these more obscure heroines?
I think I do. I think they're going to have to get into more obscure pretty quickly because you're going to run through the pantheon of the main female protagonist pretty quickly.
I like it, but it does make it a little hard to pinpoint where this is happening. Like if it's a current storyline in the Fables universe or if it's a past one. Now we know this is a past one because Prince Charming is there.
Right. Right, but even then, you assume this was in the past somewhere. Moving on, we just wanted to talk for a second about Free Comic Book Day, which was yesterday as we tape this. It's the first Saturday in May, where the publishers, the comic book publishers, sell these special comics very inexpensively to the dealers, who then turn around and hand them out for free in order to get more people to come into the comic book shops, especially kids. Now, our regular shop, Pack Rat Comics, had a mini convention, as they normally do. It's not just Free Comic Book Day. It's essentially a convention. And they got Brian O'Halloran, who was in Clerks, to stop by. And there were a number of local artists there. We didn't get a chance to really get into it because of other commitments, but...
We just got back.
Right.
Straight from the airport.
Picked up comics, and that was it. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to press the timer button. Go.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
Is it a movie that is just coming out?
Yes.
Is it superhero related?
Yes.
Is it Iron Man 3?
It is. Yeah, I didn't
kind of an that. Obvious one there.
So who is on the cover? Huh?
That would be Robert Downey Jr.
And
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay, I'll give it to you. That's the cover we got. Perhaps they had multiple covers, as they did with so many things.
Right.
Because you can't sell just one copy of a magazine.
No.
It's like the comic book industry, amazingly enough.
Variants.
Do you think they learned that from the comic book industry?
I think so. I think they both learned the idea of that variant covers sell well.
You know, I just don't understand why they want to sell, you know, they want to sell more magazines. I get it. And they have these offers in there. Oh, you can get all the magazines, you know. And we did it with the Simpsons once, I think, when they had it or something. But why don't they just sell you the covers instead of the whole magazine?
Because then they can't add it to their subscription rates.
It's just silly. Because, you know, you don't really need the rest of the magazine.
There's only so many buggy whip customers left, and they've got to maximize the ones that are out there. I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my Star Trek DS9 reviews. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.